ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Luke, and we're in chapter 17. We trust you'll have your Bible open, and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. Interestingly enough, we're seeing a millstone, and for us, that's not a word we're familiar with in the day-to-day. Many of you know it's a large stone through which they would crush the wheat, turn it into flour. That's how they did it. We have machinery. But this is the huge stone that would crush that wheat. So what is being spoken of here is not just being cast into the sea and drowned, but drowned quickly. Think about how a millstone would not only be frightening to go near the water with a millstone, but also be attached to the millstone and also thrown in, and there's no time to think, and you're going down quick. Now, I'm telling you, that is the sense, and we miss it sometimes because we're reading the bigger thing, but think about how scary he's just painted that picture for these disciples. He says, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Now, you've heard this before in Matthew about the offense of a little one. And you remember that he put a little child in the midst and said, of such is the kingdom, and woe be unto those, and millstone and all that. The problem is that sometimes people want to kind of press this into that, and this is not that. Understand, Jesus was an itinerant preacher. He didn't have CDs and tapes and video. He just basically, wherever he went, he took his message. The little ones he's talking about here, and you might underline those two words, little ones, and put in your margins back in chapter, I believe it's 15. Let me make sure I'm telling you properly if you're going to put it there. Yes, in chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, it says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eats with them. So I believe the antecedent to the little ones here is not a little child that he's just put in the midst. It's a different situation. And I believe this because the continuum of what he's been doing is really dealing with those Pharisees the past couple of chapters. He's come back with his focus on the disciples more deliberately, and he's saying, you need to be careful. And he says, anyone who offends these little ones. And so the little ones are the publicans and the sinners who came to hear. Think how delicately they walked into the midst of that audience. They would feel like, this is not my purview. It's not my element, not my wheelhouse. I'm a little nervous, but that man speaks words I've never heard the likes of before, and I'm going. And then when they arrived, they might have found somebody at the door saying, you're not dressed properly. I know you. You're in my community. I know how bad you are. What are you doing here? Kind of stuff. That's the kind of thing. Now, do you see where the transition can come? Because it would be easy for the disciples to feel that. Different places we find the disciples seeing the children coming and says, you know, go away. Don't bother the master. He says, hey, stop. Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not. It's very possible that you and I could fall prey also to serving the wrong master. Doesn't mean we're lost necessarily. We might lose a season in our Christian faith as we're trying to grow. My dad and my stepmother took me out to dinner when I was about 17. And they took me to a restaurant and they got there a little before me and they're sitting there drinking. And I was brand new in the faith and I came in and they had their wine. And I actually blew them off, not meaning to be mean, but just, you know, resolved not to be stained by the world. And I can't stay, you know, you guys can drink. I did the wrong thing, but I was a baby in Jesus. I was just kind of flailing and I did a wrong thing. Thankfully, I overcame it. And go ahead. If that's what you want to do. Yeah, let's just have dinner. But my point is that there was a season there, that one season. And any of those seasons can make us to be a people who push somebody else's boat away from shore. He's saying that's a scandal. That could become a scandal in their lives. And we don't want to be that guy. So he's talking to his disciples, and it says, this person is offending one of these little ones. And when you think about little ones, think about how Jesus talks about this in other sections. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:14, we exhort you. This is chapter 5 now. This is late in 1 Thessalonians, last chapter. He's kind of throwing this in at the end just to do this. He says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all. How hard is that? Who's he talking to? The Thessalonians? They've had maybe a little less than 3 weeks with Paul before he was chased out of town. They're so excited about the rapture, he has to write about it. He comes back again in 2 Thessalonians and writes about the day of the Lord. I mean, these people were all in for the hope. They echoed forth the gospel. They turned to God from idols. They were a great people, but they needed to be careful to be mindful. He puts this in at the end, as I said. He says, you need to be patient with all. I don't like to be patient. I don't want to be patient. Patience is hard. And yet patience is not an option. I titled the message today, Thy Kingdom Come, because that's what he's trying to get us to. He wants us to see what his kingdom looks like, because his kingdom is different than anybody else's. He doesn't want you to follow the Pharisees. He doesn't want you to follow the wrong master. He doesn't want you to miss the point. He wants you and me to not be those who scandalize other people. You know, we can also add to the list that Matthew Henry gave us. We have to be careful about our politics. I know we have to talk about it. We're Americans. We all are kind of responsible for how things fall. And you want to help people come along and get on the right side of things. But, man, it's hard. I mean, I'm a pastor, so sometimes when I speak and somebody's in the room that isn't quite there yet, I'm talking to the body of Christ and they're thinking maybe they're politics. So I have to. I don't even know how in this environment to be careful, but it's incumbent upon me to try. And so what I'm saying to you is he's getting it around to them. And he tells us that, in fact, we're supposed to be patient with all men. If you were to think about the word for feeble-minded, that word literally means little-souled. Okay? It means little-souled. Someone who lacks intensity in their soul. The person who lacks intensity sometimes can be the person who's come to Christ. You know, they smelled the fragrant air and they got the lift and God, you know, made them feel a little freer. And they could breathe for a minute, but nobody maybe pointed them to the Word of God, or maybe they didn't get in the Word of God and they're just kind of stumbling. But they're still in and they're still going, but they're still not growing because there's not any real direction, perhaps. And what I'm saying is that after a while that the glow of salvation can dim. And it's incumbent at times like that for you to dig in deeper. The Bible actually admonishes it. What? Desire ye the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. But maybe they weren't told that. No, you need to get in the Word. You need to read the Bible. If you've trusted Jesus, get in your Bible. Right? That we know this. We found this to be true. And it's milk at first that you're going to get, which means there's a whole lot of stuff. You know, I always feel bad eating a real good donut in front of one of our little, you know, maybe the six-month-old. They can't have food. You know, I feel like I want to give them a bite because I'm that guy. I'm just the guy who likes to share. But here's the thing is that that's the way it is in the Christian life. Sometimes they'll choke on meat. They can't handle that. You try to get them into the high things. You start talking about Nephilim and you start talking about all this stuff. You're like, what? Huh? Hmm? You know, and then they get fascinated with chasing little butterflies and they forget Jesus is the one you need to be spending your time with. Get in the gospel, spend time with Jesus. And when you do that, you can get your salvation a little bit more shored up so that when the devil comes, you can remember what he did when he tempted him in the desert. So I say that this is very powerful. All those publicans, all those sinners came. They were, in fact, those who were the little ones in view here. They were trying to get in the room. They didn't have the intensity. And the Bible says that anybody who offends them really are, you know, going to be in a state of woe. It would have been better for them, because as bad as being cast into the sea with a millstone, hell's going to be a lot worse. And he's just spoken about that a few verses early. Verse 3, it says, take heed to yourselves. See? Take heed to yourselves. Why? Because scandalizing one another can be a problem in the body of Christ. It says, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespasses against thee seven times in a day, turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Now, this is powerful because we are in what I like to call a training ground when we're at church. You're going to have to learn how to be nice to people in the world. And it's hard to do sometimes because the differences are so diverse. But in church, just like in family, right? Family, you can have a relationship with your wife or husband, and sometimes you poke each other and everybody's in the corner and it's hard. But you learn to go back and you get it figured out. And so really what you have is you have a training ground right here. It's a hospital, a training ground, and we learn how to get along and we cooperate in various things. And sometimes it's hard and sometimes it's easy. But sometimes in the body of Christ, what we have to do on a human level will involve those two bears we've talked about in the past. You have to bear with one another, like, you know, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak. You know, supporting the weak literally has the idea of leaning up against them and holding them up. And sometimes you have to warn the unruly. But on a human level, you have to bear with or forbear, and I'm going to give you a couple of verses for this so you know they're in there. Romans 15:1 says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves." Think about that. Bear with the infirmities of the weak. So if somebody couldn't eat meat offered to idols, you just don't eat meat offered to idols, right? You don't want to scandalize them, right? You bear with them. Galatians 6:2, "Bear ye one another's burden." So there's that, because they've got a burden and it's kind of ugly. I mean, so if somebody came out of prostitution, Larry, let's say we're inner city and there's a prostitute who's gotten saved and now she's in the room and she hasn't learned how to dress yet, and it kind of messes with the mentality of the individuals in the church who are so sensitive to such things. You have to bear the infirmities of those that have a burden that they have to overcome. So bear ye one another's burdens. They're going to have to get sanctified. I remember that people gave me a large berth when I came to church. You know, it was like I was sitting on the second row all by myself, long hair, and everybody else had white hair. Okay, so this was quite a conundrum. But I'd sit there, and all the older folks were there. Wednesday night, I'd be there. Young person in church. Wednesday night. And they loved me. And then they included me. And then they would say, "Hey, why don't you go to the rest home with us?" And I'm like, "More old people." Woo! You know. And then I'd go in there and I'd be singing in these halls. And I'd be singing from the top of my lungs. Just bottom of my heart and top of my lungs. And just, you know. And you know, I remember it to this day. "I found a friend who is all to me." And I'm singing, and it was true. And they gave me a wide berth, and they let me in. They let me in. And they loved me. But I was weak. I was odious. And they didn't know what to do with me. And they didn't know what to do with my long hair. They didn't say I couldn't go to heaven if I had long hair. And that was kind of a tighter day then. Now we're just happy people come at all sometimes. But back then, there was a little bit of a possibility for scandalizing. And they did not. They did not scandalize me. They received me. Another passage that comes to mind is, "If I then your Lord," in John 13, 14, and 15, and also including verse 34, it says, if I then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, ye ought also to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done unto you. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." Well, how did he love us? He washed the feet even of Judas. He did. And what was that? A picture of getting your feet dirty, even though you were all clean, but your feet are dirty. So, you know, what you're doing is you're forgiving one another. And so I see that as a very powerful example he's given us, not only saying it, but showing us what it means to bear with one another. How hard was it to, you know, wash Peter's feet, even knowing he was going to deny him that night? It was tough. 1 Corinthians 13:7, love bears all things. There's another bear. You bear all things. Bear all things. Believe all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. Hopes. Anyone who has children knows how that kind of love works. They can be really hard and difficult and frightening. And, you know, we're worried for them. Break our hearts. But on the other side, we hope that they'll remember. We hope. And we really do. And therefore, we're bearing with them. And we're forbearing. And this is where forbearing comes into play. Ephesians 6:9 says, "And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening." Okay? So don't go hard on them. And you can. Okay? You can. "Knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of any persons with him." And I thought of how when I was witnessing to some folks years ago as a young man, it occurred to me that when I was witnessing to this young gal, that I could have pressed it to the point of breaking. Because I was the evangelist, and I was just getting my mind around that. I was telling her how to be saved. You just have to be careful not to be that little child with a loaded gun in a room shooting people, okay? You may not know what you're talking of, so you try not to. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily.
as we go to the Word.